When we hear a gospel like this about the kingdom of God, we have to realize that a kingdom here means rule, dominion. It doesn't just mean a territory like the kingdom of Monaco. See, the kingdom of God means the rule of God. It's hard for us because kingdom, but in the languages from which this is coming, you know, Hebrew, Aramaic, even Greek, same word means the kingdom and the rule, the exercise. So the exercise of God's rule. And that's why the Lord is saying, don't look here, don't look there. Don't listen to people and say, here it is, there it is. You see, it's among you. The reign of God is among you. It's up to you to yield to it. And then he goes on to speak. There come a time when you just want to see one more day of the Son of Man, but you won't. And then it ends, you see. Yes, there will be great glory, but first the Son of Man must suffer greatly. Now, I want to look at this. We're running, you know, out of days now till the end of the liturgical year. And so the church puts things like this letter to Philemon, and then something from the first letter of John, and something from the second letter of John to help us. The situation behind this letter is probably that Onesimus, his name means useful, was a slave over near Colossae or Laodicea, or one of those cities over there, and his owner was a man by the name of Philemon. And Onesimus escaped and ran away. Now, slavery in those days ran a whole gamut to almost a house servant, to laboring in the mines. Onesimus was one of the first of that, you know, that first type, probably. It's a strange, strange world. I mean, some of them were tutors to the children. They had more authority than a lot of other people in the house, yet they were slaves, in the sense that they were not citizens, and they had no rights. If the master decided to kill them, he could kill them. And yet, there was this, and some of them were very, Onesimus wasn't very useful to his master, but some were, you know, great craftsmen. They were allowed to keep some of the money they made, and they could buy their own freedom, and different world. Then the incredible mess that we had in the South, when we talk about slavery, though that was there as well. So Onesimus somehow made his way to Rome and met Paul and became a Christian. And Paul said, well, now you have to go back. And so he's sending him back. And what we have here is such a depth of understanding and such a delicacy. Huh? I've experienced much joy and encouragement from your love, because the hearts of the holy ones have been refreshed by you, brother. So Philemon was probably one of the leaders in the community there as well. Therefore, although I have the full right in Christ to order you to do what is proper, and what is proper, let him be free. That's what's proper. You see, I rather urge you out of love. Paul, I'm Paul, an old man, and now a prisoner. I urge you, on behalf of my child Onesimus, whose father I have become in my imprisonment because I preached the gospel to him, because I baptized him, I'm his father, I'm his spiritual father. I have become that, you see, who was once useless, Onesimus, you know, was once useless to you, but now is useful to both you and me. I am sending him, that is my own heart, back to you. This Onesimus is my heart. He's my, you know, he is my brother in Christ. He is, you know, destined for eternal life. He's my heart. I should have liked to retain him for myself, so that he might serve me on your behalf in my imprisonment for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that the good you do might not be forced but voluntary. And the good, send him back. But it's free. I want that to be free for you. And so you see how Paul does this. He has such a sense when taking up collections is another way. He has such a depth of delicacy in Christ. Huh? Never forces. Though he can be very forceful. You see, perhaps this is why he was away from you for a while. That's a very genteel way of putting it. You know, he was away from you for a while. So that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a brother. So he's, without saying it, he's saying it. But especially to me, but even more so to you, as a man and in the Lord. So he's a brother now, you see. Okay. So if you regard me as a partner, welcome him as you would me. There is another Onesimus who figures later on, and maybe the same one who becomes like a preacher and a leader in the church. And if he has done you any injustice or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, write this in my own hand. I will pay. May I not tell you that you owe me your very self? I preach the gospel to you. I baptized you. You owe me everything. Don't forget that. All I'm asking you now is to do for him what I did for you. Yes, brother. May I profit from you in the Lord. I worked hard for you. Now let me see some profit. Let me get a return on my investment. Let him be free. You see the, you know, refresh my heart in Christ. I don't see how Philemon could do anything but let him go, you know. Which he did. And if Onesimus is not that common, and it's common enough. There's an Onesimus that figures later, and it could be this Onesimus, huh? Over in that area, the letter to the Colossians, the letter to the Ephesians, and the seven churches to which the book of Revelation is written, are all in this area, right here, in what's now Turkey. But it's such a model of a grasp in faith of how to relate, of how to see and bring somebody else into your vision, rather than to try to force them, or to be lean on them, or you know, to bring them to your vision. So that they too come out of a love for Christ. It's a great model. And that's why I thought it would be worth looking at today, this letter to Philemon.